4 p.m. on Tuesday, May 16th, and I call the Ruby Star Air Park Property Owners Association board meeting to order. We have a quorum. We have Pete and Ken are both in various parts of the country. Pete's up in Alaska, and Ken's on his way to Kentucky or maybe there. Okay. So with that, we'll get started. Are there any comments from guest association members?
Okay, so Barry isn't there?
We did not hear Barry.
Okay.
Do you have any comments that you'd like to share?
No, surprisingly enough.
Well, hope you're doing well on the East Coast there, and we'll go ahead and get started then. So let's go on to the review and approval of the April 18th board minutes. Those were distributed by John.
Ready?
Yes.
Ken, as a homeowner, I am raising the issue of unannounced surveying going on in the air park. I'll just make a note of it. Hopefully, if anybody hears anything, we can kind of get together and understand what's maybe happening.
Very good. Just for everybody else, if you hadn't heard this, they're out in the northeast section of the air park. There was a white truck that showed up and put a couple stakes down. So we don't know what that's about. So if anyone has information, please share with the board so we can react as necessary. Okay, thanks, Ken.
Thank you.
Okay, so board members, is there any discussion on the minutes from April 18th?
No, I read them.
Okay. Then I move to approve the April 18th board minutes as sent out by email.
I second.
All in favor? Aye.
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 So there's four ayes, so motion carries. And we'll go on to the treasurer's report. And one of the requests we made last time was, or over email or something, was to understand how much we have available for road maintenance at this point, or for this year, I guess we should say.
Okay, in operating fund, we have just under $30,000, and in reserves, we have just under $25,000. This is the beginning of the second quarter for the April financial statements. We have a lag in assessment receivables, and the appropriate late notices have gone out. They generally come in pretty quickly right after that. As far as general and administrative expenses, year-to-date, we are $2,000 ahead of budget, primarily because of attorney's fees. We switched to a $50 a month attorney situation, but we expect that to be pretty much utilized by the end of the year as the attorneys get through the revised CC&Rs. We have not gone through that endeavor just yet. For air park expenses, we were just about right on budget. We're a little bit behind in landscape. We have an unfavorable variance of $600 in landscaping. We just went through some weeding endeavors. But as far as other areas, as far as air park expenses, primarily for parts and miscellaneous, we're ahead of budget. So overall, we're about $400 ahead of budget for air park expenses. So we're looking pretty good. And the April financial statements also reflects a $10,000 transfer from the operating account to the reserve account, which was approved by the Board of Directors in the March meeting.
Okay. I looked over it a few days ago and thought it was just fine, and I think we're doing pretty well, actually, on expenses and so on. So, okay, I'll make a motion to approve the treasurer's report as stated.
And I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Yeah, I heard Pete and Ken. So before we move from the treasurers, if you have your homework assignment there.
Well, potential amounts available for road maintenance. What are the known variances we're going to have as far as we want to do a sign project? We want to get some signage up. I'm expecting that's going to be somewhere, let's say it's $700. I don't think it's going to be that much, but...
Well, let's put $1,000 just to be...
So we'll say $1,000 for that.
That's a good question. What other expenses do we expect that are not in the operating budget is what you're saying.
That's right.
Yeah.
Who just joined us?
Barry.
Hi, Barry.
Hello, Barry.
Okay, so we talked about $1,000 for the signage.
And what signage is that specifically?
So what we were looking at doing is putting, kind of dead ends signs on some of the streets because we're getting construction traffic that can't turn around on certain streets. And then speed limit signs. And there are a couple of places, like by the runway, that never... I'm sorry? Oh, Pete? I'm not sure what that was. Is everybody still there?
Ted's still here.
Pete, are you there?
I think we may have lost Pete. All
right.
Ken, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Well, okay, I was going to direct to Pete because he's in charge of the signage project, but that was basically it. There's just some safety signs that we need to put around the airpark.
Yeah, we're going to have a few portable signs as well as the fixed signs that we need to put up.
We've been having a lot of issues with construction.
And what about the speed limit sign?
Yes, we're continuing to have people... Hey, Alan, come on in. We're continuing to have people speeding around the airpark, so we want to make sure we post it up front so that then we have a basis to call them on it. Set up a table here.
As like residents?
No, it's more construction people. Okay.
And how much are those signs specifically?
We're trying to understand what unbudgeted items.
Right, so it hasn't been approved or anything?
No, it hasn't.
Okay.
It's in fact-finding right now to understand how much it's going to cost. But so, John, to your question, think about $1,000 for signage.
And how about for the gate?
For the gate. I think everything's come through. I have some receipts to give you. So but that's budgeted. It was all within the budget.
Okay, so nothing outside the budget for the gate.
I don't think so. The only thing I can think of is now that we've had the herbicide spraying out there, we've got a lot of dead weeds, and we might want to pay somebody to kind of clean up the front gate area. And there is one more expense, which is that we need to cover to do some roof paint on the little gatehouse. I can't imagine it'll be too much, but.
And as far as landscape, for the budget for the entire year, we had $4,800 budgeted. year to date, we've incurred about $2,200, and with another probably $600 more on top of that since then. So we're just below $3,000, so we've got another $1,800 in landscaping.
Okay. That's good to know.
And then year to date... I mean, for the year, for parts, tires, miscellaneous, we had $2,400 budgeted. And so far, we have nothing utilized there. So we've got a little money left in there for both signage, gate, and miscellaneous. So so we have some room in the operating budget to absorb that.
Okay.
We anticipated moving a total of $35,000 from the operating fund to the reserve fund. So far, we've moved $10,000. So Right now, the reserve fund is right around 24,000, just under 25, between 24 and 25,000. So we'll say 25 for a nice round number. So we'll have probably around, let's say, $60,000 in the reserve at the end of the year before any road maintenance, of which you probably want to keep a prudent amount in. Let's say that's 20. So let's say there's between $30,000 and $40,000 for road maintenance.
Well, we still got the Huey loan to pay.
Oh, well,
it's not in the budget.
It's not in the budget. Yeah, that's in the reserve fund budget. That's a good point. Well, that takes $10,000 out, but we had
$15,000.
So 60 less 15 is 45. You know, with another 15 prudent reserves, that leaves, you know, between $25,000 and $30,000.
Okay. Thank you.
Back of the napkin.
Wendy?
Yes.
Somebody joined in.
I think Barry already announced himself. Did somebody else join?
There.
Is that Pete back?
Never lost Pete.
Oh.
Oh, okay. Who else joined us?
I just joined.
Who's that?
Ron.
Ron.
Okay,
I
thanks, Ron.
Wind blowing.
Ron.
Is there a lot of noise here right now?
Let me just go back through. We've got Jerry, Wendy, John, Alan is here, Pete, Holly, Ken, Ted, Barry, and Ron are all on the phone. Okay. All right. I think that covered the treasurers, and we already approved it, so we'll go on to old business. So the first up is Jerry with CCNR revision update.
Well, you haven't got a lot to report on that. Now, did receive an email recently. I read through that, and I actually agree with a lot of what's
okay.
in there.
The one that Ted sent?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was nice.
Less is more,
yeah.
Absolutely. So, I've pretty much wrapped up everything that has been backing me up and keeping me from doing any work on it. So now I can actually go ahead and do some work on it. I planned on doing it today, forgetting that the meeting was 2 hours earlier, so I had 2 hours less to work on trying to get that done. But that is what I'm working on now for the next week. I'm planning on working on it a little bit every day and try and get it done.
So I worked on my actions yesterday. I'm not quite done. I'm going to finish them hopefully tonight and get them to you so that you can start
okay.
putting that together. And I don't know what other actions are outstanding.
Do you know, since you're on the CCNR committee too?
I know maybe the, businesses?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I don't know about that. Because it's what's in there is in there, and, you know, we're wanting to add to or take away.
Mm-hmm.
There's two different issues.
Yeah.
I think we decided to leave it as is and then put two options in.
Put multiple options.
I think we had agreed on that, Wendy.
Yeah, we did. We're going to have the basic.
No, that we didn't, because four of us didn't really agree on it.
Well.
And four of the people are there. So am I incorrect in my remembrance?
Okay, so the way we had left it is we were going to do the basic, the things that we absolutely have to get done, and have that be voted on separately from the other individual items. There are about five of them, and I may be adding a sixth in there, and that would be to delete something. We'll talk about it when we finish. Anyhow, so the issues off the top of my head, I don't have the paperwork in front of me, were business, house
specifically the horse business, living, or was it generally business?
It was the conflict between the two paragraphs. That needs to be fixed somehow.
Are we having another meeting, perhaps after Jerry does what he committed to do?
That's exactly what I'm planning on doing. As soon as I get this done, I would like to be able to have a meeting sometime in the next 2 weeks for everybody to take a look at it so we can make suggestions on that. And get that ironed out so we can get this done sometime in the next month and
get it through the lawyer.
Yeah, I want to get it done. I want to have my part done by the end of this month so we can get it to the attorney so they can get their part. I want to have it done before the end of June and actually voted on. That's my goal.
Well, you know what they say, haste makes waste. And I thought there were some specific items. Now, somebody help me here who attended the meeting. Am I the only one?
I don't understand what you're asking, actually.
Well, before the next step was that Jerry was going to summarize what we had, and there was a discussion about whether we would include it or whether we could agree that it wasn't important, that it was too confusing. So that's the situation. That's where I feel that we are.
Well, as soon as I get done with what I'm planning on doing, I'm going to email it to each person so they have a chance to look it over and write any changes in. If I miss something, bring it to my attention so we can get it all done and then have a one last meeting and see if everybody's happy with how everything is worded with the, because there's going to be a, this is the reason to keep it, this is the reason to get rid of it, or this is the reason to change it, or this is the reason to leave it alone.
The pros and cons.
Right. So those are the parts that we have to write, is the reason for getting rid of it or the reason for keeping it or whatever it is.
Yeah, and so Barry did the one for the residing in a hangar. I've got a couple of them that I'm going to give to Jerry, but I think the Williams were going to write the one about business.
Business.
Right.
So I think that's where we are.
Yeah.
So do they come out before the basic, or
no, you need to get that. You want to
get yours come in, and then we add that.
No, I think you have to give it to him as right. soon as you have it.
As soon as you've got anything, go ahead and forward it to me in an email, and I'll try and put whatever verbiage that you came up with in there.
Which so Ted's it makes letter it addressed a lot of it. Pretty right. simple.
Well, right. It, this is Ted. Can I make a comment?
Yes, sure. Please.
Hi. Jerry, I think it would be enormously useful for all parties concerned if you, as the chair of the subcommittee regarding the CC&Rs, would write an outline of some kind so that all the members, sort of
good idea.
Understand.
Yeah.
A hold of the process so that we can achieve the goal.
Okay, that's a good idea.
When you're saying members, you mean the members of the committee?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, okay.
Right, so basically what I want to do is an outline with all the different issues as bullet items so we can do the pros, cons, and the verbiage that we want to put in there, how we want it changed, and the reason for the change, or the reason for not having a change. So, but I'll do an outline, get that out to everybody first, and then I'll finish clearing up the bits that we missed in the basic document, and finish cleaning up what I know of for the rest of the bullets.
And if I may, and then you know, subsequent to that particular process, insofar as holding a meeting of the subcommittee members, you know, if it's possible, it would be ideal if we could use this telephone type of forum or whatever to have a conversation rather than an exchange of the written word.
Sure. Thank you, Chip.
Is that forum? Is that the one that we originally had during our meetings with the speaker?
It doesn't matter which speaker phone or system that we use, as long as it's nice and clear. And we've got two systems that work, one that you used at your hangar and this one. And this one's very portable, and all it needs is power. We can use it anywhere because it hooks up to a cell phone and makes it very clear.
What I'd like to suggest is with your, so I think Jerry agreed to send out kind of a summary of where we are and remaining items. Can you also throw out a date and time so that we can start that? It takes us a long time to settle on a date and time. So if you could do that at the same time, that would be awesome. Okay. Thank you. Anything further on the CCNRs? Great. I'd like to postpone road maintenance for a couple of, to the end of the old business, because I'm still waiting for something from Guillermo. He sent me a bid Sunday night, and I opened it yesterday, and I found that he put the wrong attachment on the email, so it was like, oh no. So he's got to send that to me. Let's go to Freeport McMarin update. I have to say, I'm pretty much disgusted with the whole situation, but we met again with the Green Valley people this month, followed up with all the people I've talked to in the past. There's not a whole lot going on. They think it's going to come through in the next few weeks. It'll probably be approved. The aquifer protection.
Will be approved?
I'm guessing. I don't know, but I would guess it will be. What I was going to say, hold on, let me finish my discussion and then I'll open it up, okay? The aquifer...
I just said that you said it, and I just thought if you could clarify what it was.
The expansion permit? Yeah, the expansion permit for the mines.
Alrighty, that's good.
Sorry, I jumped to that immediately. There are other issues with the mine. You're right. So the aquifer protection permit is the thing that's currently being worked. It's done by the Arizona Department of Environmental Quality. And they have told us that they're wrapping a bow on it as we speak. So that's going to come out. Now, what that does is say what the impact is to groundwater. And that really is kind of our biggest thing to hit people over the head with, because this mine has already polluted Green Valley water. And so... the big hope is that they'll say, well, you're expanding, it's going to do more of the same, and so what are we going to do about that? So, and that's the hook that gets Green Valley very interested as well in fighting this thing. So that's in the works. They've said that they will probably have a public hearing once that report is out, and I would encourage all of us to attend that if it happens. The other thing is, last month I suggested that we go to the Pima County Board of Supervisors, like an open meeting, and have a few people do a three-minute thing. And frankly, I did nothing towards that, and I'm thinking not to. I mean, it's just, it all takes so much time, and I don't see it getting anywhere. And frankly, the I-11 thing has gotten all the politicians overwhelmed, that and all the craziness in Washington. I mean, they can hardly talk to you at this point. And so I'm going to just show that unless somebody else wants to work it. So I'm thinking next month I probably won't even do a report on the mine. Unless something new comes up. So that's kind of where that is. There has been an additional thing. We actually did a noise report yesterday. They have some new machinery. I don't know, Alan, if you hear it, but a couple of nights ago, it was really loud. They were crunching some rock or doing something that was just really loud, at least for us. And, of course, we're closest to the processing plant out there. So, anyways, we did a noise report on that. Haven't had much smell lately, which has been kind of nice. That's it on that. Any questions?
Yes, this is Barry. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
About 10 minutes, I've had to call in four times because I keep losing this connection. Jerry, about 6 or 7 minutes ago, you said, we can use either one. Please use VOIP for subsequent meetings. I would really greatly appreciate it.
All it is connecting the computer. I didn't have the information. I've got the computer up and ready to go. I just didn't have the information in time to get it connected.
So you can use the voiceover IP for both.
The information he's referring to is what we used at Alan's house for the VOIP connection. So that I can actually hear, and people can show images, and we can discuss ideas. We can actually have a real meeting instead of this.
We have no documents to show at this meeting, but I can.
Yes, but we do.
I'm planning on.
We do. We have ideas that we'd like to present to you, and without VOIP, we can't do it. So you said you can do it either way. Then please use VOIP in the future, because that's what we agreed to last month.
Barry, that's what I planned on doing today, but I didn't have the information in time to get it started that way. I was here at 3 o'clock trying to do it, and I couldn't get it done because I didn't have all the info I needed. I'll make sure I have it for the next meeting, and we'll run that and as well as the phone and see
how
it works.
Hey, Barry,
Thank you very much.
Okay. For this meeting, you said you had something to show?
When you talk about the common area, yes, I would have had something I would like to have displayed.
Can you just email it to Barry and we can project it here?
Jerry.
I'm sorry. Jerry.
Then I can't see it.
Well, I'll send it to Holly, too. It's whoever's on the phone.
On the mine thing, I also heard that they are back in full swing. They brought all their people that they've laid off.
Yeah, they seem to be going pretty strongly. Now, another thing I've found out is that Green Valley has an environmental committee, and I've been going to that meeting every month. And Freeport always shows up and gives a status, and sometimes they're like engineers actually show up, and you can ask them questions, and it's really pretty good if you have any specific questions for them.
Wendy, it's Ted. I think I sent you an email a week or two ago, maybe more than that now, but I had an interesting conversation with a guy who used to work at one of the mines nearby, and he told me that smell, they've never been able to figure out the source of that thing. He worked at the mine, I think, for 20 or 30 years or something like that, and they speculated that it was from an old mine shaft or something like that.
Do they smell it on the property?
Well, I mean, you know, if you want, when I'm out there, I know this guy, and, you know, I'm sure he would talk to, you know, you and I or maybe come and talk to the board or whatever, and you know, you can quiz them on the subject.
That'd be great. And I did get your email. I just hadn't responded to it. But that was really good information. And the attachments you sent were also very good.
Oh, good. I'm glad you enjoyed that.
Yeah.
So are you going to send that document to me? Yes, Jerry's asking Barry if he's going to send that document to me.
Barry, can you hear Jerry? Apparently not.
Well, maybe he's dropping off.
Okay, anyhow, let's press on.
Barry did mention, I thought I heard him say that he was having trouble with this particular call-in for whatever reason.
Right. Okay. Well, Barry, if you're there and want to give us a common area update, that'd be great. Otherwise, we'll move it to the end here. Okay, insurance coverage. I did get responses back from the insurance companies. Basically, we're not covered for any of this unless we put specific, we get additional coverage, and John is in the process of working with our insurance broker to figure out how much that would cost.
Yeah, for the most part.
Insurance coverage, it kind of blipped when you said that. I'm interested because, you know, I used to work with the insurance.
Yeah, we're talking about backhoe liability. We talked about horse traffic. What? Holly, did you have something to say?
Well, I know when I was on the board, the sweeper in the backhoe was covered.
Well, the new people we've had.
It was insured.
Yeah.
I can't tell you specifically about the liability, but it was covered in the shed, the entrance shed.
Okay, that was at that time, but it's not covered at the moment, and that's why we're looking at the insurance coverage.
Yeah, it's covered under property. It's the liability we're worried about.
People getting hurt, not fixing broken backhoe.
Right. So,
what
so
about
we're
the
looking
operator?
In.
Are they covered?
No, that's.
That's what we're doing is
that's
trying
what we're worried
to find
about.
Out what we've got to do to get them covered.
Yeah. We might need to have some workman's comp or something like that put in place. So, yeah. I also checked with the lawyer to see what our liability was, and he said this was not a good situation, so we need to get this fixed. Do you have anything further on that?
Other than for the businesses that are on the property, to be sure we're included as a named insured.
Yes. So for anything that you're doing, Alan, for instance, yes. Like if you have insurance, if you're doing a trail riding business and you are on the air park, they suggested or they pretty strongly suggested that we should be named on any of your insurance. Just to be sure that, you know, it's all covered.
Certificate of insurance.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's like when you do work on a property and you have to do that funny thing. Yeah, so that's a good point.
And it doesn't cost, usually it doesn't cost that much to include a named insured for the property.
Not to it all the time.
Yeah. So it's sometimes just a formality.
Yeah, send them an email and send out a certificate.
Yes.
Sorry, just give me one second. Okay. Road sign project, we kind of went through that. Pete, do you have anything further on the road sign project?
Yep. Fortunately, after the meeting, we had a flurry of activity to ready to go to Alaska, so nothing's been done on.
Okay. We'll cover that next time.
Can I ask something about that? I'm just curious because I read the agenda.
Yeah.
The speed limit sign?
Yes.
And that's probably for construction workers, probably have no problems with it.
Yes.
Are you contemplating putting up more than like one at the entrance? Or just basically.
I'm thinking.
Because you can't enforce it.
I understand that too, but it's better if it's posted than not, right? Because we've been having people going 50 miles an hour down the roads, and people are getting angry. You know, the dogs are out, and
Teresa and Madonna. Actually,
Madonna hasn't said anything. There are other people who complain, but regardless. So there's that, and then the other big part of this was we're getting a lot of Google is directing people the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
To the construction sites, and we're getting people lost on the dirt roads, and so we need signs that say dead end, you know, before they're too far, because they can't turn around once they get down.
I don't think we need to spend a lot of money on the speed limit. I put maybe one at the entrance saying area wide speed limit.
Yes. That way we can at least say it's posted. Yeah.
Wendy, it's Ted. What is the speed limit?
Well, that's local.
We make it?
It's 30, is my understanding.
In Arizona, if it's not listed, it's 30 or 35. I was thinking 35, but
yeah, that's what I thought.
No, but we put out stuff in the past that said it was 30.
Oh,
the board in the past just put out things that said 30. Now, and I think it was in one of our draft rules and regulations, because that's one that should be in the rules and regs. So, as soon as the CC&Rs are done, we'll finalize that rule and rules and regulations and move on from there. So that's what that's all about. There was also, we were going to make a couple of temporary signs to direct, when there's a construction project, to direct them the way they need to go. Okay, I'm going to go back to road maintenance. We had gotten quotes. There's a couple of things that we're working on. One is riprap in three separate places. One is in front of Alan's place. One's further west of there near the Taylor's driveway. And then on Lost Silver between the Boswells and the DeBells, there's an area that's really undercutting there. So those three areas, we're looking at riprapping. We're working with Guillermo again to get prices. The first proposal he gave us, and Ken is on the phone too, we met with him, was like $10,000 for those three areas. And neither of us could understand that. So actually, I talked to Guillermo again, and he said, well, labor's really a lot. But the problem was he was thinking hand placement of riprap as opposed to dump riprap. And so that's where the confusion occurred. So the other thing that's happened is, so I met with Guillermo again this last Saturday, I think it was, and with Carl. And so to try to get the price down, we're going to have Carl do the grading in some of the areas, because part of what we want to do is move the drainage a few more feet from the road so that it's not right, because like right where you are, Alan, it's right up against the road, and so we need to move it a few feet further into your property. It's still in the easement. Yeah. Okay, Alan's got the big eyes going. But we're thinking 4 feet from the edge of the road would be the bottom of the dip. So I was going to talk to you about that and go over what we're thinking. But so we need to grade those areas, get it away from the edge of the road, and then put fabric down, and we want him to pour the riprap, not hand place. So there's that one. That's one part of the road maintenance. The other part is the runway. There's areas that we're getting drainage over and undercutting. Mm-hmm. And so Guillermo has given us a bid of $10,000. It's not exactly $10,000. It's approximately $10,000 to put a concrete ribbon like Magnum did in the other areas that seems to be working very well. And it's a pretty large area that he's given us. Let me just, I've got the bids right here. It's 1,040 lineal feet, 12 inches deep, by 6 inches wide. And that came out to $9,620 for that. And the riprap, I don't have the new bid yet. So, oh, and the other part, so there's the...
Wendy?
Yeah.
Wendy, do you have the bid from... not Guillermo, but...
Oliveira?
Gilberto, yeah, it was. I don't have it in front of me, but it was $20,000. So this is half of what Gilberto paid for that.
I know the dollar amount, but what I'm asking, do you recall the lineal footage on his?
That's a good question.
His was 12 inches wide, and it was going to be around 14 to 16 inches deep.
This one is 12 inches deep by 6 inches wide.
Right. So every 2 foot, you got a cubic foot. I'm trying to recall. I don't have it with me. I apologize. But I'm wondering, it sounds to me like the lineage is about the same. It should be because they were marked. That's what both of them went off of. I believe the 6-inch wide, 12-inch deep should satisfy it, you know, in the long term.
If we go with the...
And again, going back and talking with... Gilbert, he said he would not, or his people would not do a 6-inch wide and 12-inch deep. Now, whether that's from experience or something else, I don't know.
It may be that his trencher is not the right width either. I know that that's part of what Guillermo had to figure in.
Yeah, because I think he's using like a regular trencher you put in the pike width. Use along there, which would be, and he wasn't, I don't think he was saw cutting, whereas Gilbert's was saw cutting right along the edge of the asphalt.
So I don't know enough to know what the impact of that is.
It just means it's going to be Gilbert sealed against the concrete.
Uh-huh.
Where if he's not doing the saw cut, it's just going to have to be filled with other material.
Yeah, so let me continue on here for just a second, Ken. The other thing that we asked him to do was bid, there's a bunch of cracks in the runway, so filling the cracks. And when he came back on Saturday, he said, you know, it's hard for me to bid it because the cracks are everywhere, right? And so how do you, because we don't have unlimited money, it's hard to decide how many cracks or, you know, and then trying to keep track of that while he's working would be impossible, he said. So we ended up agreeing that he would do time and materials for that kind of thing. And so this thing with the concrete against the runway, he would probably just fill it with the asphalt he's using to fill cracks
mm-hmm.
with. And he gave me a time and materials of $230 per hour, includes labor and equipment, and he doesn't say how many guys, and the crack fill stuff is $26 per box for 40 pounds. I don't know.
That would need to be spelled out because
yeah,
he puts one guy on there.
Yeah, it's different from having right.
Yeah.
So there's still more
many
to do.
Hours too.
Yeah. So like I said, he sent me the wrong stuff on Sunday or whatever, and so I don't have the right new bid. So I think what we'll have to do is do it by email. I was hoping to get it approved here. But you can count on, it's going to be at least $10,000 to do the concrete header. Ken and I can discuss via email, you know, whether mm-hmm. Gilberto's bid versus...
Right.
So Ken and I can kind of squish this together via email and then send it out to the rest of the board for a vote, if that's acceptable.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Gilbert did come down to $18,000 off his bid when I talked with him, but that's where he's at.
It's at 18.
He's got to make general contractor type.
Wendy, it's Ted. I have a question.
Yep, go ahead, Ted.
I sort of grasp what you're talking about, this concrete versus the asphalt. Part of what comes to my own mind is that whether or not that particular installation, if you will, has been reviewed in any way by an engineer. My own experience is that asphalt and concrete have different expansion rates. You may find that you spend a lot of money and then find out that you got an issue that you didn't foresee.
Yeah. All I can say is that go ahead, Ken.
My answer to that is the two coming up in Ruby Airport Drive. You've got the two crossovers that were both concrete ribboned, and that's we're borrowing from that thought process on putting the concrete footer up against the asphalt, and it was saw cut. So you can look at that, and that's been in for a couple years now.
Yeah, we also did that. Magnum did that repair on the runway where they added. We're doing the same thing that they did before, the ribbon. But what you're saying is that Guillermo wasn't planning on saw cutting, which I hadn't heard that before.
No, I don't think he is, I'm pretty sure that he's not for that. But it could be specified and it could be saw cutting.
Okay, so there's more questions for him. Okay, so I don't have a motion. I think we've discussed, and we need to do some more homework.
Yeah, we need more information.
I think, in my opinion, there is a lot of cracking on the runway. I've looked at that thing, for the last few years and watched it. I think that if we were to take and go to the larger areas that are starting to really gap open, and have him do that, sooner the better. The smaller ones, okay, well, maybe next year we can take care of that. It's going to be an ongoing maintenance program with the runway, so it's something we have to address.
Right. Okay. So it looks like we might want to allocate about $25,000 for some combination of road maintenance. That's where my head is right now. Does that sound reasonable to the rest of the board?
It does to me.
Does to me, but with questions being asked up front, and if we need a second opinion from somebody else, feel free, let's do it.
Yeah, we may want to get Magnum out here and give us a bid for the same thing.
I think that may be a good thing, and You got a Magnum employee who lives right up there in McGee Ranch. So
yeah, the thing is, he doesn't do the bidding. He won't come and bid. It's a different guy.
He can come and give us some opinions.
That's true. Okay. Hey, Barry, are you there? Okay, well, I don't have anything on common area update. Ken, do you have anything?
Well, yeah. I was just going to ask John, did you get enough information to kind of get an idea of what we're doing?
I haven't been able to digest it. It looks plenty to me.
Well, what we need from here is a plan of how to finance it.
I think, John, I'm sure you could probably reach out to Dan White also and Barry, both of them. The three of us had a lot of discussions about it. And
yeah, I read Dan's report.
And I believe Pete originally had some input back when there were some drawings made and some other activities going on. So there's been a lot of people with their ideas now.
Yeah, I have the drawings. I've read the engineer's report. So, you know, I should have enough. I just haven't had enough time to digest it this month.
You did get the feasibility study, yes?
I did.
Good. Okay.
Great. Okay, I think that's it for old business. Okay. Let's move on to new business. Just in the past month or so, Ken and I have had some conversations about being consistent in what we pay for and how things are done around here. In the far past, we used to depend a lot on volunteers, and volunteers would just do everything. Well, a few years ago, that started getting really hard. Everybody got tired of volunteering, and so we started paying people for doing stuff. But we haven't been real consistent in that. Sometimes we pay people, and sometimes we don't. And so we put this on the agenda to have a discussion about how we feel about this. In particular, we have a good example that came up in the last month that we wanted to discuss. And that's that we did some road, some tree maintenance to have safe passage on some of the roads. And we used the backhoe. So we paid Carl for the backhoe, for his time, and we used the backhoe. But we also borrowed the Michaels dump truck, which was a godsend. It was a wonderful thing to use. And Carl's truck to pull the dump truck. And so we're using people's equipment, and the question is, I feel that we should be reimbursing them somehow for usage of equipment. Ken, do you want to add anything to that?
I think you've already kind of got my feelings on it before, but I can be, with a little discussion about it, and if we all understand that's what we're going to do from this point going forward, then so be it. Okay. No problem. Really about all I got.
Okay. So we have been paying, for instance, for the spraying, we've been using Pete's Ranger, and we have been paying a hourly fee for that. So this is what I say, we've been inconsistent. Sometimes we do it and sometimes we don't. I think we should be paying for them because, at least from here on out, in the past we were inconsistent, but that doesn't mean we should be inconsistent in the future. So I'd like to hear from Pete and Jerry too.
I think that we should reimburse unless they specifically say they want to donate the time of their equipment or their time there for themselves as well.
Mm-hmm.
So if they want to donate the time and the equipment,
great.
Perfect, no problem. If they don't mind you using the equipment, but it's not a donation, then yes, we should be consistent in reimbursing them for use of it.
Pete, do you have thoughts?
I agree with Jerry. It's to allow people to make a decision if they want to donate or if they cannot donate, then we figure out what reasonable cost should be there. So at least it gets put in there as a budget item line or a line item that we can actually refer back to at a later date in case the equipment's not going to be funded.
So let's take this example and move a little further on it. Michaels didn't ask for anything for the dump truck. I just feel like we've put some use on it, and the right thing to do is offer him a certain amount. If he turns it down, What do you guys think about that?
What Mike told me when I talked to him briefly about it, Gilbert has been using that dump trailer for, I guess, for a large portion of the time at
my place.
Jerry's.
Yes, I'm very familiar with that trailer.
I'm not sure if it happened before or after, but Mike got a set of tires and a battery out of it. And an axle too. I didn't know about the axle, but you know, all that helps. I mean, I think Mike is one, and I've mentioned this to Wendy, Mike is one that, you know, instead of the money, he'll barter, you know. In other words, he's got something and he can turn around and, you know, back and forth and you know, go on that basis, on a barter basis. That's one item. And when I saw the proposal, I initially mentioned to Wendy about, well, you know, I didn't know that Mike had a four tires on there. A couple just go a long way for somebody. And when I towed that, when we cleaned up the hangar tear down, there's a lot of metal in that. I towed that trailer all the way down to Tucson, and I was a little bit skeptical after looking at those previous set of tires in there. But it worked. It got done. But for continuing use, it would work. He's got tires now. With that said, what can he use? I don't know. Other than, you know, money, he and Judy can go out for lunch or dinner.
Yeah. How about if I call him and say, you know, the board is very thankful for using your equipment, can we provide monetary or some other?
As soon as you find out what his daily rate is, I need to know, because I need to borrow it too. I've got a lot more cactus and tree branches to haul.
Give him a couple gift certificates to the buffet over at over there. Got real nice stuff, you know. So I'm just throwing stuff.
The problem is I wouldn't know what to buy for half of the people, so I don't want to get into doing gift certificates.
I know one. They'd like to go to the 4th of July thing down in Dubai and the dinner.
Yes?
Hey, Wendy, this is Ron. Can I add to this?
Yes.
You know, one of the, I fly an airplane. Dan lets me fly his airplane, and it's at a huge savings to me and another partner. And I'm going somewhere with this, so just be patient with me. Dan doesn't really say, Ron, it's so much per hour. I mean, if it wasn't for Dan and him letting me use his airplane, I wouldn't be flying at all. But at the same time, because Dan allows me to fly his airplane, I basically do all the service, all the maintenance, buy anything that needs to be bought for it, pay for the fuel and everything to show my appreciation. And it ends up, like right now, I'm actually driving up to the hangar so I can finish up the annual on it. So it turns out to be a win-win situation, because Dan doesn't have to worry about his airplane being taken care of. It gets flown. I get my hours in. He comes back with a nice, good running airplane and a clean hangar. Where I'm going with this is, if we start borrowing people's equipment, one of the secrets that I've found in life to being able to borrow people's equipment is to get it back to them in the better shape that you borrowed it in.
Absolutely.
If people actually want you to borrow their stuff. So with that said, and this worked really well for me, I applied this to the airplane when I applied for a van. I applied to a lot of other stuff. I've got a lot of equipment at my house because I've stuck to that Vanja. Now, with this said, I think it's somewhat, in my opinion, somewhat unprofessional to expect these people with that equipment, because I know what it costs to service and maintain it, and the initial capital outlay to procure it. So with that said, I think we should have a schedule
you know, this is how much it costs to rent that very same equipment, maybe at a 10 or 15% discount. Pay them, whoever owns the equipment, that way you're more likely to be able to borrow it whenever you need it. Now, if they want to donate that to the HOA, that's on them. But we shouldn't expect them to not donate. We really should. We should be able to pay the going price for whatever it is, because even if we pay the going price, it's still convenient and it's still there. Now, if they want to donate to the HOA, that's on them. But we need to show that we paid for it.
Thank you, Ron. Those are all good comments.
If I moved up there and I have a dump trailer, I do have a dump trailer, I have a backhoe. People, you know, Ron, we want to borrow it. No. Now, if you want to pay me the going rate for that equipment, and then I want to donate that to the HOA, then that's on me. But I don't feel comfortable borrowing people's equipment and that kind of stuff, expecting to borrow it.
Amen.
Yeah. Okay.
I got very strong feelings about that.
I think we're all on.
Yeah, I think we all agree with the same thing.
Yeah, and I would like to foot stomp. Ron's absolutely right. Give the equipment back better than it was given to you.
Absolutely.
Always, you know. All right, very good. So I'm gonna go do some research on how much a dump truck costs.
Don't call it a truck, though.
Oh, a dump trailer. Yeah, trailer.
You'll get two different.
No, I know. Yeah. Okay. On the phone, who is speaking?
Wendy, it's Ted. Can I throw in something real quick?
Yeah.
You know, it would be nice for anybody who you know, wants to donate something gratis, you know, and not ask for any compensation or whatever, that they be, you know, recognize them in the quarterly newsletter or you know, at the annual meeting or something like that, and just say, you know, big round of applause and a thank you because of da 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 da.
Yes. Very good point. Okay, so I'm going to research what a dump trailer costs, and then I'll do another email for approval.
Okay.
Actually, I don't think we really need it because it could be part of the landscaping budget because it was part of the equipment for that. We don't need to approve it, but I'd still like to get concurrence.
Run it around. Yeah.
Okay. Very good.
Informal concurrence.
Informal concurrence. Okay, that's all the agenda items, but I realized I had stuffed a few pieces of paper in my folder here that I do want to run through real quickly. Question has come up a few times on whether elections can be done via email or some other way. So I went ahead and queried the new lawyer on this, and he basically came back and said, no matter what you do, unless you get an approved online voting system, you know, which can maintain secrecy, you still have to send out by postal mail. So what that means is you have to send out the hard copy stuff by mail. If someone wants to give up their secrecy, they can email back instead of sending it. But it doesn't relieve us. Hold on, Holly.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but I've done some investigation on this, and the GVR let people vote, and it's through an organization where we hire them, and the votes have to go to them online, and the voters have to register. And the one thing I haven't done is find out how much it costs. But if you would like, I will volunteer to get that information.
That'd be great, Holly.
Because it can be done, and the statute tape has to be done, but the GVR, you know, Green Valley Rec, you're familiar with them?
Oh, yeah.
Green Valley Rec. Okay, so they did it through this one particular, and I have all the information. I just haven't followed it. The most important, how much does it cost?
Right, because
I'll be glad to do that, and then send the information to the board and to John.
That'd be great. Yeah, I didn't pursue it because I figured for the small number of people that we have in this association, compared to Green Valley that has, you know, 30,000 people. That it just wouldn't make sense for us to go to an online system, and I
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but just to validate what you're saying, Holly, there, our attorney said exactly what you're saying, that he did say that the, he did mention a cost. I don't remember if he mentioned it just to me or in his email, but it was, but, you know, for an association that has, you know, let's say 60, 64 voting members, it's pretty prohibitive.
Yeah.
But I hope you find a better cost than what he thinks it's going to be.
Okay, so there's,
Holly, we need to continue on with the meeting now.
So Holly's going to research costs from what the Green Valley people do, but I just wanted to report on that homework assignment. So that's one thing. The next item is, as many of you have noted, the gate, front gate, the keypad went kaput this month, and Mike Michaels and Ken both went and tried to resolve the issue, but it ended up being very complicated. So in the end, my mic went out and tried to figure it out, and it turned out to be like three things at one time that were wrong, and so it was really difficult to troubleshoot. So he spent, days out there working with it. We ordered
collecting dues or toll or something.
Yeah, was he? I should have asked him to do that. Anyways, so there's a couple of things to report on this. He sent out a pretty comprehensive email with all the details, but the things that were done, so the keypad was replaced. Mike Michaels had bought a new keypad, but the keypad that came in actually had a defect, and so the number 4 wasn't working, which we needed. And so that needs to be sent back and get a new one, because the one that's currently out there is getting old. But the old receiver, what we've been calling the old receiver out there, there's two frequencies for those of you who know something about this. There's two boxes. One of them was still working, but it was on its last legs. People were saying they had to be right up to the gate in order to open the gate.
I was almost bumper on the gate.
Yeah, so that should be working better. So he replaced, we bought a new one.
Before I turn in, it now works.
Okay, good.
So it's gotten quite a bit better range.
Good. The other thing, he did a lot of rewiring and stuff in there because, again, the rats are getting into things and, you know, the cat pee and all, not cat pee, rat pee, is affecting the receiver. So he found these boxes for these receivers that protect them from the elements and from rodents and so on. So we went ahead and bought those, and he installed those as well. The thing that's, I'm not going to talk too much about this, but what we're thinking about, so in the past, anybody could go up and program the remote. So we're not doing that anymore. So now these boxes allow us to restrain who goes in and has a remote so that we can actually, you know, retain
control.
Yeah, so that's there too. And his final recommendation is that we paint the roof. So you guys want me to just, or maybe Jerry, would you mind talking to Gilberto?
Yeah, I'll find out what he'd want to just slap coat on there.
Yeah, two coats. At least that's what Mike wants.
Couple of coats. Two coats. Okay.
Yeah. So you'll do that?
Yes.
Okay.
Pete is the last one that roofed it.
No, Gilberto. Yeah, he did, and then there were still some problems, and we had Gilberto come back and really take it down and redo it. So that was a while back.
I did look, and I saw what Mike had done while he was there. And
yeah.
So, and it looks nice. He did a good job.
Good. Thank you. So you'll call Gilbert. Okay. I think that's that. I can't see anything without glasses anymore. These are receipts for gate stuff. Oh, and this one needs to be reimbursed to Michaels. So the other two I paid with the credit card, but that one, Mike Michaels,
Do you have any kind of an estimate what you think it's going to cost to do the two coats on that? Because it's a small area.
Yeah, after everyone has your painters.
Yeah, I've got painters coming out Saturday, so if I get a hold of them, they may just stop and do that on their way in the gate to my house.
Yeah. If they have the correct type of paint to put on it.
Well, they're going to buy it just before they come out, so they can
pick up the roof. That. It's, well, we don't need... I think we might have some if Gilberto doesn't just have some hanging around, because it's anything you buy is going to be too much for that little tiny roof.
Right.
So, yeah. Okay. Yeah, ask him if he has some, and if not, we probably have some.
Okay.
Okay, that's that. There's one more thing. Oh, it was a request to Jerry. I'm going to bat my eyes.
I'm going to ignore you.
Sorry.
So go ahead.
So the sprayer. It's been out in the open for the last year. Once John finishes with the spraying, I'd like to get it inside out of the elements. Would you be willing to store it in your hangar?
How much room does it take up?
About the size of this table.
How tall is it? Okay, wings can go over it. I can probably store it.
Okay, that'd be great.
Yeah, I just have to be able to get both aircraft in and out.
I think there's plenty of room.
I know, but that's where my workshop is for my other airplane that I'm bringing up.
Oh, okay.
So that's off limits.
Okay.
It'd be over here near the Mustang.
That would be awesome if we could do that.
Okay.
Good. That's all I have. Any other topics?
Do you care to volunteer that space?
Yes,
don't donate that space.
I'm volunteering the space to store it.
20 a month.
At the light discounted rate of...
Ted?
Yes.
Just before you adjourn, I want to just say thanks very much for everybody agreeing to have the meeting a little earlier so that those of us on the East Coast are up to the middle of the night.
You're very welcome. Thank you for bringing it up. It was a very good point.
And I'll try and have everything set up about a half hour early for the next meeting, so we've got time to get the website up and running as well as the phone.
Great. Super.
Board members, anything else you want to discuss?
Nothing for Pete.
Okay, anybody else? All right, then we will adjourn. I move to adjourn the open session. We're still going to do some financial stuff in a closed session here.
I second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Ken?
He already closed.
See you, Ken.
Well, no. Yeah, so we'll call in on your phone.
Take it off mute. Aye.
Oh, great. Thanks, Ken. All right. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for everyone for joining. This was a lot of attendance. It's very good. Have a good evening.